This is All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, originating from Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery, from coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235, and let's talk about wine. Again, the phone number to call is 646-727-3235. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Thank you, bus people. I'm surprised. I mean, as much rain as we've been getting, I'm surprised they're showing up and not fearful for the rains.
Yeah, that's right. They're happy to be inside. Yeah, they're inside at least, so that's always good. So, wow. Well, welcome to the show. We are on again, and it is June 15th, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. On time. Woohoo.
If you're listening to this right now, then you're live. If you're listening to it not right now, then don't call in.
Right. It's some other time. Yeah. There you go. That'll work. So, you have a few top. I don't think there's any events coming up this weekend, right? It's
Nothing this weekend. Next weekend. Oh, we got Father's Day Sunday, though. So,
there's a reason to enjoy some wine, that's for sure.
That's right, yeah. So come out and pick up some port for Dad. He'll love that.
Yes.
It's always a good thing. Speaking of what's coming up, as always, we have to talk about the events coming up this next week, so you can plan your wine drinking around different things. Today, if you haven't already enjoyed it, is National Lobster Day. So, after the show, jump out and have yourself some lobster. Tomorrow, National Fudge Day. And that would pair well with some nice Cabernets. So, fudge and Cabernet. Mm. Also, it's Fresh Veggies Day. Saturday, National Apple Strudel Day. And National Cherry Tart Day. So, a couple of good things to pair. You can find yourself some interesting pairings with wine there. Gewürztraminer with the apple strudel, I think, might be interesting. 18th, besides being Father's Day, it's also National Cheesemaker's Day. And we're going to talk about cheese and wine pairings here in a few minutes. And Sunday's also International Picnic Day. I didn't realize we had a picnic day. But it's Sunday. Yeah, so... The 19th, National Martini Day, which, I can't think of any wine that would pair with a martini. I've never been a martini fan, by the way. I just, I'm not a gin fan. I've never gotten into martinis. I don't know. The 20th, the National Vanilla Milkshake Day. Again, I'm not sure what wine you can have with a vanilla milkshake. And why is it Vanilla Milkshake Day and not just Milkshake Day? Mm-hmm. 21st is the first day of summer, so there's all sorts of nice wines you can have there. So get out and celebrate the first day of summer on the 21st, which is next Wednesday. And then on Thursday, before the show, National Chocolate Eclair Day and also National Onion Ring Day. So there's your celebrations. And on Monday and Tuesday next week, National Martini Day and National Vanilla Milkshake Day, we've still got the monthly celebrations of June, National Candy Month, National Dairy Month, National Fresh Fruit and Vegetables Month, which, having Fresh Fruit and Vegetables Month, and then the 16th, tomorrow, Fresh Veggies Day. That's sort of like a double dip there. And National Papaya Month. So there's the things that you can celebrate with wine over the next week. And find some combinations there. I want to make a shout out to Rusty. Rusty is a good listener. Rusty has listened a lot on the shows. He has sent me different notes and things in the past. He sent me a couple of suggestions for guests. I've tried to get the guest on, and they both weren't interested. So, Rusty, thank you for the suggestions. And I didn't ignore you. I tried to get a hold of them, and they scheduling conflicts and stuff. And they said they just couldn't be on, maybe at some other time. But Rusty, thanks for the suggestions. Thanks for being a listener. And anyone else out there that has suggestions of a guest in the wine industry or associated with the wine industry or anything like that, get in touch. Drop me an email. I really do try to get a hold of the people and try to see if they are willing or would like to be a guest. And we've gotten some guests from that, so it's not like it's not possible to get guests. But let me know if you have any suggestions or anything. Let me know. But again, thank you, Rusty, for your suggestions. It's always good to hear from you, and we do look forward to seeing you stop by the winery sometime soon. You've mentioned that a couple of times, so try to stop by and visit with us. Let's see what I'm drinking tonight. I picked this up yesterday. I was out shopping, and we bought a new TV. Our TV broke, and we've been using a tube TV, which drives me insane.
What?
Yeah.
A tube TV?
Oh, tube TV. Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. With your reaction, I got to tell you. Okay. We had a flat screen, you know, smart TV. And that we watched all the time in here in the when we watch TV. And I've got a great big TV. My daughter and son-in-law gave it to me when they moved. They couldn't take it with them. They moved out to Ogden, Utah, and they couldn't take it with them. It was just impossible to pack up the great big screen. And it is a big screen. I mean, it's a great big one that sits on the floor, and and I keep that in my den, and I usually watch baseball games and sporting events, stuff like that, on that. And then in my mother-in-law's room, who lives with us, she had a tube TV. And the thing's like 25 years old, but it worked through the cable company, and so they got it working for her. And she'd go in there, and she'd watch stuff every once in a great while. Well, the TV in here broke. For a while there, it took a long. You turn it on, and it'd take 10 minutes for it to finally come on. Then one day we turned it on, and it never came on. So to have a TV in here, we didn't want to roll a big one out here. So we went and got the tube TV, and we hooked that up and to the cable, and we were able to hook it up to the cable. You can't turn it on with a remote. You can't increase the volume with the remote. You can change channels, but the channels are changing on the box and not on the TV. You can't turn it off with the remote. And it's like a 17-inch, or no, it's more than that. It's like a 22-inch TV. So yesterday we said, this is it. And we went up to Sam's and bought a 40-inch smart TV, which I just hope the TV's not smarter than me because I haven't hooked it up yet. But yeah, that's why we got a tube TV hooked up. So, old school, very old school. And it does. And the picture's not that good, and it just drives us nuts. But it will make us appreciate the new one that much more, though. So.
Your computer, it's not one of those computers that have the green letters on them, just one color letters. Remember those?
Little, yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
5-inch CRT monitor or something built into it or something.
Well, the computer at work. We have an old computer at work. And, you know, at the winery. Because we used to have people write their names on a book, you know, their email addresses,
right.
Put them on our list, and we couldn't read them. I mean, I would come home and start entering them into the list, and I'd look at it, and I'd ask Kathy, I said, you know, engineer, I said, is this a G, a B, an R, or a Q? And she'd say, no, I think it's a Z, a W, you know, I mean, it's just impossible to tell what people wrote. So we had an old computer, and I mean old, an old HP that, I don't know, the thing's like 12, well, more than that. It's like, you know, we had it when we first got married. So this was about 22 years old. And we took that to work, and we've got a keyboard set in there and an old CRT screen for it, and then the computer's on the floor. People come in and go, wow, this is old. And I said, yes, but I can read your handwriting. And,
right.
You know, and it's funny because people walk up to the keyboard, and the keyboard's old. I mean, it's just the old keyboards that, you know, the off-white color keyboards. And people come up and start looking at it, and they go, well, where's the G? I said, it's a regular keyboard. It doesn't change no matter how old that is. It's the same keyboard. But people, you know, when it's old like that, they think they might have changed stuff over the years. No, this is a regular keyboard. Where's the at sign? It's above the two, you know. So but it's always fun to see people fascinated by that old computer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this when I was in high school. Yeah, well, good. Yeah, put your email in business.
Yeah. Sign up and keep going. Keep walking.
Yeah, really. So we can actually read the handwriting now, so it increases our list. But if you want to get on our email list, just email us. Go to our website, and there's a place there where you can just enter it in and send it to us, or do that. Wine tonight. When I went out to get the TV, and that's what started this story, when I went out to get TV at Sam's Club, actually, where we got it, they have the wine section. I saw Newman's Own. It's Newman's Own Cabernet Sauvignon. It's Newman's Own Foundation continues Paul Newman's commitment to donate all royalties and after-tax profits from this product for charitable purposes. Paul Newman and Newman's Own Foundation have given over $350 million to thousands of charities since 1982. It states right on the label, all profits to charity. It says, made with grapes sourced from premier California vineyards, our classic Cabernet Sauvignon is beautifully balanced and complex with hints of dried black cherries and toasty vanilla spice, followed by long, smooth finish. It says, enjoy wine that gives back. It is, the grapes are from Napa Valley. It states that the grapes are sourced from Napa Valley. It's bottled in Napa, St. Helena, Napa. But Newman's Own, all the profits, this is the 2015 Cabernet Sauvignon. All profits go to charity. He's been doing that for years. That's something which is pretty cool, I think, that he does that. He's got money. He doesn't need it. So it's a good way to do it. And the wine's okay. I mean, less than $10. I can't remember what I paid for. I think $9.49 or something. But nice Cabernet characteristics to it. Not overpowering and not one you would age, but one that you can enjoy during a blog talk show or something, or, you know, with a light meal or something like that. So Newman's Own, all profits go to charities. What, yay for them. That's what I am enjoying tonight. So I'm going to have to stop every once in a while and do a sip. Real estate time. We don't have any real estate music, so we can't play our real estate music for real estate time. And we still can't think of something. If you can think of something out there, if you're listening to this and you think, well, that would be a good real estate background song, so let us know. We'll see if we can't get it up, and that's part of our our real estate page. Well, we got real estate for you. We got some properties. As always, I'll give you the properties. If you're interested in more information, email me. I will be happy to send you all the contact information. I won't put you on any list or anything. I'll just send you the contact information. So you don't have to worry about your emails being added to an All About Wine list, because I don't do that. First one, plantable acreage in Amador County. Isn't Amador County where the, no, that was Calaveras County. The great jumping frog of Calaveras County. So that's, but Amador is right around that area. It's up in the foothills. 160 plus or minus acres. Seasonal pond and creek. Wow. Old homestead house. Needs some TLC. In other words, it's falling apart. Need to fix it. Two-bedroom rental is on the property, which also brings in $1,000 a month. 1,700-foot elevation, open and rolling terrain, cleared for crops, vineyard, or livestock. This is only $595,000. Wow. That's, you know, not a bad thing. 160 acres, $595,000. Just that in itself is a pretty good deal for California property anyway. El Dorado Vineyard, El Dorado's most stunning and spectacular view property. 15-acre property with a 3,310-square-foot home perched on top of the world. Wow. With a 2.5-acre vineyard of mixed varieties. Wow. On top of the world. That's just cool. Winery tasting room opportunity. 17 plus or minus acre vineyard surrounds winery and tasting room. 20 plus or minus acre parcel total. Great El Dorado company location. Our county company. County location. This is only $695,000. So there you go. Some foothill properties on those. If you're interested in doing a vineyard, Napa Valley Howell Mountain has a vineyard lease ready for planting, and they can lease land to you so you can have a Napa AVA on your label or sell the grapes to somebody else. Napa Cabernet Sauvignon right now, by the way, I just read a couple days ago that it's going for like $6,000 a ton. That's outrageous, but it's Napa, so. Los Ropos Vineyard, 40 plus or minus acre pristine Lodi vineyard with 40 acres planted with Cabernet, Syrah, plus other mixed varieties. This is only $1,275,000. Los Ropos or Lodi, again, is up in the foothills region of California. Lodi was where the gold rush was hit pretty well into that area. Back in when it was the gold rush. KVB Winery and Business in SB County now. SB. Santa Barbara? Probably. Kenneth Volk Vineyards in Foxen Canyon Wine Trail. 25,000 plus case winery and tasting room. $3.7 million. Yeah, I'm sure that's a chunk of change for that one. Santa Barbara County, and it says vineyard. It doesn't say how many acres in the vineyard, so I don't know. 122 acres, WSU, Washington State. It is just east of Prosser, Washington, on an inland empire. On Old Inland Empire Road. If you're in the Washington area, you know what that is. If not, then look it up. It has a southern exposure with a gentle slope. Irrigation water is supplied by Sunnydale Valley Irrigation District. And this is only $1,037,000. 122 acres, $1,037,000. That's not a bad price. When you start considering the fact that they're saying that within, you know, 20 years, Napa is going to be too hot, and that area up there is going to be the areas that you really need to go to. And $1.37 million is a pretty good deal. Well, not $1.37 million, even less. One-story home with a mature vineyard. This is a single-story home on 5 acres with awesome views and 2.5-acre mature vineyard. 2,200-square-foot home with open floor plan, spacious master suite with vineyard views, fenced garden, vineyard, and fruit trees. Mature evergreens provide your private sanctuary. Enjoy local views and entertaining on the expansive decks close to schools and shopping. Live the good life in El Dorado County. So we're back to El Dorado again. Wow, a lot of stuff available in El Dorado. That makes you wonder, just that many for sale. Did El Dorado County pass some new law or something that people want to get out while they can? Next one, most affordable Napa Valley winery. There you go. Small winery with 3,000 case permit located on a stunning view knoll. Oh, they had a comma on the wrong spot. Located on a stunning view knoll near the top of Spring Mountain. Basement garage winery, approximately 1,300 square feet with exterior crush pad staging area. Nearly 13-acre parcel with winery and large residence provides amazing views. Offered at $2.9 million. Most affordable Napa Valley winery, they said. $2.9 million. Rare opportunity to own a St. Helena winery at this price point. Contiguous 1-acre parcel also for sale. So you can add another acre to it. That, again, in St. Helena area, which is Napa Valley, southern Napa Valley. Bonvay, Canton, Texas, B&B. There you go. No one, California, let's go to Texas. Dream of owning a bed and breakfast? Bonvay is an all-inclusive Chateau private vineyard winery and income-producing cottage, offering a complete turnkey package. Property includes 4.9 acres with a pond, cover, barn, and storage shed, plus 2.63 acres of an additional pasture suitable for cultivar or stock expansion. Outdoor living spaces and abundant decking, perfect for entertaining. Custom-built secluded tranquility. No price. So that's in Canton, Texas. Do you know where Canton is?
I'm sure I've heard of it. Van Zandt County, East Texas. No. Oh, 60 miles east of Dallas. Okay.
6 miles east of where?
60 miles east of Dallas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's off of Interstate 20. South, kind of east south. Yeah. No, I didn't go through that part.
Puts it in a good B&B area too there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
I haven't been through there though.
Yeah, I haven't. You know, I've heard of Canton, Texas. So I don't know why I would have heard of Canton, Texas, but oh well. Here you go. Pinot Noir vineyard and a home site. Established in 1998, this 5-acre Pinot Noir vineyard is located in South Napa's Jameson Canyon. Complete turnkey operation. Planted to Dijon clones. Then again, now this is, we talk about Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir has so many different clones. So this is planted to Dijon clones, which I don't know, I guess maybe you should know that if you're going to grow Pinot Noir. Bilateral cordon, VSP, drip irrigation with abundant water, deer fence, ooh, bird netting, ooh, put some money into this. Zoning permits a home to be built. No home there. Easy access to and from Highway 12, which is the main highway through Napa. For sale by owner who developed and is currently farming. $1,150,000. That's not bad, really. You know, we start, you know, I mean, $1,150,000 is a lot more than pocket change, but when we start looking at the prices of some of these Napa Valley things that are for sale, that's not bad. Oh, speaking of which, for sale, Castle Winery down in Tarpon Springs here in Florida is for sale. No vineyard, no much of anything. They want $1 million for it, which is, it, well, actually it is too much, I have to say. But it's their retirement, so one day somebody's going to end up buying it from them and they'll be able to retire. So. Award-winning Woodinville, Washington Winery. We're back up to Washington here. For sale, a profitable 2,800-plus case production winery, strong brand presence, and DTC sales channel, direct-to-customer sales channel, with high customer loyalty and wine club retention. The West Coast does a lot of wine club stuff. They get that wine club signed up, and it's a good deal. 10 years plus of 90-plus ratings. Platinum, double gold, or gold awards across entire lineup. Current inventory value is $2.8 million. So I don't know. I guess that prepares you for a high price. Either that or we'll take a sacrifice. Super premium wine growing estate. Award-winning winery, vineyard, and beautiful estate, home, and prestigious AVA. It doesn't tell what AVA it's in, though. Turnkey with inventory and owner winemaker willing to consider continued involvement, which is always good. You know, he knows what he's doing. All inquiries subject to pre-qualification and NDA. I'm not sure what that means. NDA. North County property. So that's north of Napa when they say North County. In the heart of Texas wine country, here you go, profitable award-winning Texas vineyard and winery on 20 acres. Real estate only for sale. Inventory and or FF&Es may be purchased. 2,400 square foot tasting room, storage, offices, and restrooms. Cold storage and processing facility is 1,715 square feet. Two bedroom, two bath is 1,320 square feet, 3.5 acre deer fenced vineyard, 300 gallon per hour well with irrigation permit. So, wow, again, no price. Winery, vineyard, equipment, and house. Award winning winery, vineyard, including all equipment, and a 2,400 square foot residence for sale in Sierra Foothills. 15 acres, 4 acres planted with Tempranillo, Petit Syrah, Tannat, Semillon, and Sauvignon Blanc, with 6 more acres plantable. No price, no more other information. But again, it's Sierra Foothills. Winery, is this the one I just read? No. Winery vineyard with B&B. I didn't read that, did I? I'm looking over here. Price reduced by $150,000. Great opportunity for cash positive combination at Gateway to Kings Canyon and Sequoia Park. So, excuse me, north of Napa. Turnkey offering includes everything. Consulting winemaker desires to continue and current owners will assist in transition. Owners are motivated and will consider seller carryback. North County properties, $1,050,000. Wow, they reduced about $150,000. So you were looking at $1,200,000. They dropped down to $1,050,000. Large foothill winery, 44 acre with 12 acre vineyard, planted in Zin, Syrah, Cab, Mir, oh, I guess Merlot, M-E-R, and Marsan Roussanne. 30,000 case capacity, 14,000 square foot covered crush pad. Tasting room, wine club, large picnic area storage, price reduced to $2.25 million. And the last one for you, our highly profitable Los Gatos winery. Multi-location, rapidly growing winery for sale. Owner will stay to insist in brand growth. And there we go. We are done. We are caught up with our real estate. It's been a month and a half since we did real estate, so we had quite a few there. So, but anyone interested, as always, get in touch. We will be more than happy to pass on contact information. If you have an extra $1.2 million sitting around, and you want to, invest it, there you go.
It just so happens. Yeah.
It just so happens. I have this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one. Wow.
$1.2 million. Yeah. I saw this just out. It's from one of my trade magazines, brandpackaging.com. Surf Swim Chardonnay is a rapidly growing wine brand that brings a taste of the beach in every bottle and now in every can. Surf Swim Chardonnay cans are available in four packs of colorful and slender 8.4-ounce cans with the same high-quality Chardonnay as in the bottle. Now you can take the award-winning wine with you on the go. The president of the company says the canned wine category is exploding up 231%, but there are limited offerings for America's favorite varietal, Chardonnay, said Alex Grashi, president and CEO of Grashi Wine Partners. Surf Swim is a fun, lighthearted brand that's a perfect fit for a canned wine that you'll want to enjoy at the beach, by the pool, at barbecues, or anywhere else that a portable, unbreakable, single-serve beverage might be enjoyed. Now available nationwide, Surf Swim Chardonnay offers sun-ripened aromas of peaches, ocean-cooled flavors of pineapple, and finishes with waves a banana peel. Very nice words there to convey the Surf Swim brand. Surf Swim. I've never seen it on the shelf. Now they offer it in cans. But what, 8.4 ounces? That's let's see. 7.5 times. I thought 200. No. Yeah, about 250 milliliter, 275 around there, if you're into metrics. I've been asked often over the last couple of 3 weeks at the winery when I'm giving wines, they're saying, what cheese will pair with this? What cheese will pair with that? And just, for a rundown for you, since we're getting into summer here and wine and cheese gatherings are always a lot of fun, let me do a little bit of wine and cheese pairings here. Grenache, a semi-hard sharp cheeses with that. Sauvignon Blanc, Grüner Veltliner, Chenin Blanc. Try some goat cheeses, any types of goat cheeses are, I can't pronounce cheese names, so I'm going to destroy these. Chevreux or Croutin. If you're going to go Dolcetto or Montepulciano, try some Asiago or Provolone to match with it. Moscato or Muscatel or Gewürztraminer, Gorgonzola or Munster is suggested to pair with that. I don't know. That seems odd, but, you know, I may have to try that. Melbeck or Syrahs suggest a Edam or Tome or Gouda. The Suave Greco Fionc, I don't know, suggests that you pair Flor Sordo or Tome with that. Jeez. Muscatel, the Scrivo Torni Port, get soft cheeses, soft washed rind cheeses. Zinfandel, Primitivo, Aramon, French Syrah, get some grilling cheeses or Percomo. Cheeses are even harder to pronounce than most stuff. A dry rosé, do mozzarella, ricotta, provolone, a Pinot Noir or Beaujolais or something like that. Gruyère, Cornine, nutty Coteau cheeses, Chardonnay, Semillon, Roussanne, Grenier, get Brie or triple cream cheeses, get something lighter with those. Port, Lambrusco Dolce, suggests blue cheese or some vein cheeses or soft rind cheese. And let's see, ice wine, Sauternes, Tokays, your late harvest, your real sweet ones. They're suggesting Roquefort or Maitec Blue or blue vein cheeses. Tempranillo, Grenache, California Syrah, Carignan, Rincol cheese, semi-hard sheep cheeses. If you go on with Syrah, Malverde, try a Gouda, Edam, or soft ripened cheeses. Rieslings, Sauvigners, Elbling, I don't know, I've never heard of that. Get Mavarte cheese, Edam cheese, what's that, Rochette? Boy, I know, you'll never be able to find these cheeses because I'm pronouncing them all so wrong. You say, oh my God, he doesn't know what he's saying. Sangiovese, Chianti, try Grana Padona or Asiago or Percono cheese. Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, cheddar, Gouda or aged cow cheeses. Aren't all cheeses, well, no, you got goat cheeses, but basically they're cow cheeses. Pinot Grigio, Muscadet, try Fontina. Creme Froche, Pita, Ricotta, and then Champagnes, Cremant, Cava, Sparkling Wines, any of those. They suggest a Dulce Bourgogne, a Brie, or soft, bloomy rind cheeses. So there you go. It's useless to me because I probably pronounce all the cheeses wrong, and you still don't know what I'm talking about and how to match them up. But that's a chart that's suggested that I found here. So I will pass that on to you as a starting point. Let's call it that. That probably would be the best way to say that as a starting point. Okay, now, geez, time's getting away from me more than I thought it would. I didn't think I was going to have enough time. I always do that, though. Don't think I'm going to have enough time, and then I end up talking a lot. Back last Sunday, the 11th, was that Sunday? Yes, it was. Last Sunday on the 11th, freak hailstorm hit Napa Valley. Hailstones the size of walnuts hit Northern California over the weekend, causing great concern and fear among a lot of the Napa Valley winemakers and grape growers. It brought lightning, wind, rain, and hail, as well as a bunch of snow in the Sierras. I don't know if you saw the news, but they did, but they were showing the snow in the Sierras much to the delight of the ski resorts and people still up there snowing or still up there skiing and snowboarding. But the temperatures fell by as much as 25 degrees Fahrenheit in a short period of time. And people in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, reported hailstones the size of walnuts. It's unusual for this time of year to get that. I mean, we are in June, so it was a surprise. It's the most intense hailstorm they've seen, they're saying, in over 31 years. And it could be affecting some of the grapes. Most of the vineyards survived with only torn leaves and no damage to fruit or shoots that everyone has been able to tell, and they felt that they've been quite fortunate because of that. Daniel Ricotio, who manages grower relations and quality control across Northern California, said there had been about a 5% damage to one vineyard, where grapes sell for as much as $35,000 per ton. Oh my gosh, that is unbelievable. $35,000 a ton? I mean, you can go down to Fresno and pick up grapes for $3,000 a ton. Turley Wine Cellars was among the hardest hit. Its vineyard manager said that it estimated losses as much as 50 to 70% in some parcels. Wow. In Oakville, Grammy McDonald estimates that some of the losses are around 10%, but they said that, they'll see as they check it further. It says other vineyards and grapevines around the area seem to fare much better. The variable was in which direction the rows were planted and the canopy coverage. But they said that if the rows were in the line that the hail hit, it did a lot of damage. If it was more of a canopy coverage, it was better and didn't affect it as much. Dunn's Vineyard on Howell Mountain was also spared. Said the leaves weren't damaged, but some of the Cabernet Sauvignon hadn't finished flowering, so that will cut down on some of the harvest. And they said the story was the same at Atlas Peak and at Spotwood in St. Helena, where the damage was mostly leaves, but not so much the clusters. In Canaris, which is, again, around that area, the hailstorm was very brief and similarly did very little of any damage, according to the people from that area. So major, major hailstorm this time of year there, which is really, really quite unusual for Napa to have it that cold, to have the hailstorms go through like that. Here's something I saw, which I wanted to talk to you briefly about. The article was, can you or could you pass the Master of Wine exam? Excuse me. We've talked to Irene King, who has taken the sommelier exam, and she said it's tough. But this is Master of Wine exam. It says, fancy yourself a wine expert? Check out the latest Master of Wine exam. Actually, they gave it. I printed it out for myself. It's 7 pages long, but it's not just like, you answer this question, answer that question, and stuff like that. It really is quite intense questions that you have to look into. Do you know your Cornas from your Albarino? Could you hold forth confidently on such diverse subjects as soil moisture levels, pest control, and the effects of temperature on yeast? If you could, then you might be able to pass it. More than 150 candidates tackled the stage 2 section of the exam, in London, San Francisco, and Sydney last week and faced a barrage of questions testing their technical and commercial acumen, as well as their knowledge of some of the more historic wines and wine regions of the world. The exam is broken in two parts, theory and practical. And in turn, the theory section is split into five papers, first three of which concern growing grapes and making wines. This includes questions on topics as diverse as water availability, labor supply, pest control, filtration, use of enzymes in winemaking, and the use of sulfites. Theory paper four concerned the business aspect of wine, including questions about the separation of consumer and producer, social media, and whether small independent stores can compete with chains. And some of these you're saying, well, this is theory, but actually they're looking for something more than that. Another question, as the owner of a Bordeaux classified growth from the left bank, what options are available to you today to present your wine to market? I mean, that's one of the questions. Presumably the correct answer is not with a Grangeton price tag attached. You know, I mean, it's these are the type of questions you're asked on this exam. This article says one of the favorite questions was one addressed the well-known wine industry aphorism. Quote, you inherit the equivalent of $10 million and want to invest in the wine industry. How would you spend your money to attract the greatest return on the estimate? Explain your logic. Okay, end quote. Now, this is says here, and I tell this to people all the time. So this, of course, is a simple rehash of the old saw. How do you make a small fortune in the wine industry? You start with a large one. And that's, you know, really what this question is all about. The practical side that attracts most interest is testing Canada's knowledge on some pretty obscure regions and grapes. It goes into some of the other questions here and some of the thing. You have to compare it to nothing. There, you have to know everything. There's nothing you can really compare it to. The questionnaire, like I say, 7 pages long, I print out. The theory paper number one, this is how the test starts. This is on viticulture. Three questions to be answered, one from section A and two from section B. The questions are, for example, temperature is one of the most impactful environmental variables on wine grape growing. How does temperature affect viticulture? You have to write about that. Or does soil preparation affect the potential yield and quality in a vineyard? Soil prep, now they're saying. What are the principal pests and diseases facing vine growers today, and how can they best be managed? These are the type of questions you're looking at. Temperature management is the key to modern winemaking. Discuss. Briefly discuss three of the following showing the importance of the handling of wine. Preservatives in wine, preventing deposits in bottled wine, inert storage, pre-bottling filtration. You have to know your stuff to do this. I like this question. Does great wine need a great story? Yeah, I think it does. I have a story for my port, and I think my port's very good, so I have a story for it. Then the next section, they give you 12 wines, and you have to discuss them. You have to identify them and discuss. Identify the origin as closely as possible with reference to the grape variety used. And then discuss the winemaking techniques and all that. It's tough. It's a tough, tough test. And, you know, if it weren't tough, then everybody would be a winemaster. So, I just, the Institute of Masters of Wine. But once you learn all that knowledge, once you go through all that stuff, then you're going to have to try to find some place to work that's going to need all that knowledge. And who does? Where? I don't know. Don't have an answer for you on that. But if you want to get it, you can always say, I am a master of wine. And that is really a pretty cool thing to be. So I'm going to tell you that. One other thing I want to talk about before we call it an evening is residual sugar. I am asked constantly, how much sugar is in that wine? And I'm constantly responding with why. Because people think the sugar in it is going to affect, especially diabetics, think that the amount of sugar in the wine is going to affect their diabetes, their sugar levels in the blood test. And I always explain to people, you know, alcohol metabolizes into sugar in your body. So it's not just the residual sugar that you need to look at. You need to look at the alcohol also. So it's a twofold thing. And, you know, moderation is really the key to it more than anything else. Moderation in wine and in anything. But residual sugar, let me do a little bit here, tell you a little bit about it. This is a little bit technical, but I'm sure you can understand. In the wine industry, a term like sugar can mean different things. Often, there is a request for testing the residual sugar, but this term can be very ambiguous. In wine, residual sugar usually refers to the sum of glucose plus fructose, an indication of the amount of fermentable sugars remaining post-fermentation, which is also an indication of dryness. Okay, so the residual sugar is the sum of glucose and fructose, and it indicates how dry. Now, remember, the word dry simply means the absence of sweet. Very simple definition, the absence of sweet. It doesn't mean anything more than that. Brix. Brix is the measurement of the apparent concentration of sugar. It is commonly used for grape juice and must, and is expressed as a percentage by weight. 1 degree Brix is defined as 1 gram of sucrose in 100 grams of solution or wine or any solution. Okay. When the solution contains dissolved solids other than pure sucrose, as is the case for grape juice and must, the Brix is only an approximation of dissolved sugar. It's not really the final bottom line. This is 2 Brix. Okay, that isn't really true, but close enough. Glucose and fructose. In grape juice, glucose and fructose, analysts measures the combined concentrations of the two main sugars present that can be consumed by yeast, also known as fermentable sugars. Compared to Brix, glucose and fructose can provide better estimates of potential alcohol concentration after fermentation. All right. And reducing sugar. Historically, residual sugar was measured by the reducing sugar method. This test derives its name from the ability of most sugars in juice or wine to reduce other compounds. The most common reducing sugars are glucose and fructose. However, the method does not distinguish between fermentable and non-fermentable sugars, or other reducing compounds for that matter. And these other compounds may contribute to reported results. So, you know, it's a little bit more complex than just how much sugar, you know, there's residual sugars in there. You also have to consider the glucose and fructose and how much that is in there and how that affects the final thing. And these are things that also affect blood sugars for the diabetics out there. The glucose and fructose is also part of the whole thing there. So, Brix is the term we use, but it's also rather, it serves its purpose, but it's not completely 100% accurate. So, there you go. I think we covered some good stuff today, and if you're interested in some real estate, get in touch. If you're interested in doing the Master of Wine test, contact me. I will give you a link so you can do it. Just go to mastersofwine.com. I'm sure that will also give you the stuff that you need there. But thank you for tuning in. Mike, anything to...
Yeah. Still typing. Their website in there. Okay. I can hear myself.
Yeah, can you again? Like did you check like out last week's show?
No, I know what you're... Yeah, about the issue with the microphone, I didn't catch it. I was like, because I plug it back in with the mixing software that I use, because I do the radio show before this, about an hour before, well, 2 hours before this, and then it was sounding good there, and then when I go in here and it was sounding good in the beginning part, I think it was just a connection issue. Because I go back to the mixer afterwards, and because I can hear instant feedback on it, and I go, well, it sounds fine. You know, there was some kind of issue, I think, going through the internet or something. I don't know, but and I got disconnected just now. I don't know if you noticed that about 15 minutes ago. I was sitting here, and all of a sudden you just poof out of there, and I go, okay, he disconnected, and I go, no, I disconnected. So reconnect real quick. But
I saw that. That was strange. I'm going, what? Did I?
Yeah. All of a sudden. I was out of there. So, but I don't know. It must have been something last week. I don't. No indication on this end, but. I don't know.
Speaking of which, before you, Mike's radio program, y'all, I have to remind all of you of that. You know, Sky Blue Radio.
Thank you.
What's it? SkyBlue.com?
SkyBlueRadio.com. SkyBlueRadio.com.
SkyBlueRadio.com. Mike's on every Thursday from 3 to 5, plays requests, listens to you, plays anything you want. I mean, he's got a big library there.
It's a mess.
Can pull up stuff that you haven't heard in forever. SkyBlueRadio is 3 to 5 every Thursday, unless he decides to do more hours or something. But every Thursday, SkyBlueRadio.com. And check him out on that. So,
that's another one of my things I have to get into, I guess. We do. It's aviation news, that kind of thing.
As well. I've listened to it. I don't listen to it. I don't listen to you because I don't get home from work. Thursday right. was when I was not working every day, but.
We'll have to change that. Let me contact the owner of where do you work again?
Yeah, Florida.
Let me contact. I think there's a way to contact them on the website.
Website an S at the end of the States and Wines. Okay, Florida States Wine. And I'm Florida sure States some Wines. Response. Yeah.
I'll contact them. I'll get you. We'll get you. Your off days back on Thursday again.
Yeah.
Just for that.
Thank you. I will appreciate it. Oh, one other thing here I just saw. Mm-hmm. I get e-letters from Ron Rubin Winery. They're located out in California, and it's interesting stuff. He talks about his winemaker sent out e-letters once a month and talks about all the stuff that they're doing in the vineyard and everything. Cool, but just received an email today, they have wine in the can. He said, since the recent excitement of wine in the cans began, they have been trying to put something together, and they have a premium red blend that could be enjoyed slightly chilled. And he says, great for grilled burgers on a hot summer night. And he thinks it's more refreshing than a white. It's called Ron's Red. It comes in a 187-milliliter single-serve can. And it was a blend by their winemaker, Joe Freeman, and the owner. It's a blend of California's Zinfandel, Syrah, and Merlot. So Ron's Red. You can get a case for 24 can case for $95.76, which is about $4 a can. So I received that, and I just, somebody else. And Ron Reuben Winery is, you know, he's a little bit more expensive, high end Napa stuff, and they went to the can. So hey, it is happening everywhere.
Yeah. I had the can from was it Barefoot? One of those. Last month, but yeah, I had that before. It was, I think it was like not sparkling, but like a the fizz, carbonated, I guess. I forgot it was called something. It was sprays. I don't know, something, but yeah, it was pretty good. Different, but it's just different drinking it out of a can.
I know. Wine. I know what you mean.
It's like you have a bowl of cereal or soup, and someone hands you a fork and say, "There you go, eat it with the fork." Like, no, I'm only getting part of it. You know,
you have
a spoon. Yeah, I don't know. I just get it with the, you know. It's not the same. I can't get over that.
I've had wine in a can, and I know exactly what you mean, though. It's like, well, you really can't swirl it. You really can't pick up an aroma out of it.
Nope.
I mean, no. You know, they say wine in a can with essence of grapefruit and nuts and cherries and strawberries, and you're going, but it's a can, you know?
Right.
You know, if it weren't in glass.
It just throws me off. It's like essence of aluminum.
Fully understand what you're saying there. Fully understand.
At least I'm not going nuts. Okay. on that note, it is after 8 o'clock, which is okay. We will see you all next week, Thursday the 22nd. Thursday, June the 22nd, 7 p.m. Eastern time is the show start time. Join us live and get on the program. You can call the number during the show, and we'd love to talk to you about wine on air. So make plans to join us next week on the 22nd. And with that, we will see you all. Have a great week. Plenty
Happy
of
Father's Day.
Happy All Father's Day. Sunday, right? Sunday.
Sunday.
It's Sunday.
Happy Father's Day.
Take them out to drink wine.
Right. Yes. And if you're looking for something, give Daddy wine.
Yes. Yeah. That's always good.
Always good.
Yep.
So we'll see thank you all for tuning in. Week. Thank you, Mike. And we'll see everybody next week.
Yep. Good.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, originating from Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridastateswines.com or call 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.